Yes, Minister, by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn. Starring Paul Eddington as the Right Honourable James Hacker MP and Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey Appleby, with Derek Folds as Bernard Woolley in Doing the Honours.
So we can't make any more economies in accommodation either. Or in data processing equipment. Or in the further education budget. Oh well, at least the universities aren't costing us so much now that the overseas students are paying fees that cover the full cost of their education.
Unless you make the exceptions which have been proposed.
No exceptions. At least that's one saving we can hang on to.
Minister, I'm afraid the time's nearly...
Well, meeting adjourned then. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister.
Before Sir Humphrey comes, Minister, the Honours Secretary at number 10 has been asking if you've approved the department's recommendations for the Honours list.
Bernard, that's about the eighth time you've asked me that. Are Honours really the most important subject in this whole department?
Well, they are to the people on the list, Minister. They're never off the phone. Some of them haven't slept for three nights.
But ministers never veto civil service Honours, do they?
Well, hardly ever, but it's theoretically possible, and they're all getting worried by the delay.
How do people know they're on the list? This file's marked strictly confidential.
Oh, Minister.
Oh, yes. Silly of me. If only they'd put a quarter of that energy into cutting expenditure. Bernard, how can I get this department to want economies in the way they want OBEs and KCBs and so on?
Well, I've been thinking...
What?
No, nothing.
No, Minister. Come on, Bernard, spit it out.
Well, it's not my place, and I wouldn't suggest this, and I couldn't possibly recommend it, but... Just suppose you were to refuse to recommend any honours for civil servants who haven't cut their budgets by 5%.
Bernard!
Oh, I'm sorry. Do forgive me, Minister. I knew.
No, Bernard. It's brilliant. It's the answer. It's our only hold over the civil service, isn't it? I can't stop their pay rises or their promotion. I don't write their reports, but I can withhold honours. Well done, Bernard.
No, you thought of it, Minister.
No, you did, Bernard.
No, you did, Minister.
Ah, yes. So I did.
Oh, splendid dinner. I always enjoy my visits here.
Well, I'm afraid this could be your last, Humphrey.
Oh, why, did I pass the port the wrong way?
Tell him, Bursa.
Bailey College is going to the wall.
What?
It's your new government's policy. Charging overseas students the full economic rate for their tuition.
Most of the other Oxford colleges can cope, but as you know, we've always had an exceptional number of overseas students here at Bailey.
Yes, but as I understand it, Master, you simply have to charge them the full fee, no problem.
Alas, they can't pay it. 4,000 a year, so they won't come.
I've been everywhere, all over the USA, raising funds, trying to sell the idea of an Oxford education.
And Africa is crawling with British professors frantically trying to flog sociology courses to the natives. And India, and the Middle East. The competition's cutthroat.
But can't you fill up your vacancies with British undergraduates?
I don't think that's awfully funny, Humphrey.
Well, I wasn't trying to be funny.
My dear fellow, anything but home students.
Why?
We only get £500 a head for UK students. We'd have to take 400 to replace a mere 50 foreigners. The staff-student ratio would go up from 1 in 10 to 1 in 34.
We'd have dormitories, classrooms. It would be like Wormwood Scrubs. Or the University of Sussex.
The master thinks the paintings might raise 20 or 30,000.
With luck.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Yeah.
Yes. The paintings and the silver together might just about pay off the entire mortgage interest on the new buildings.
Oh, good God.
Of course. If we could get the government to treat us as an exception.
Yes. Interestingly, Humphrey, it seems to be your minister who has the authority.
Ah.
how might one set about persuading a minister of the importance of Bailey College?
Well, I don't know. What about getting down here to a high table dinner?
Is he of the intellectual caliber to understand our case?
Oh, yes.
Surely our case is intelligible to anyone with the intellectual caliber of Winnie the Pooh.
Quite. And Hacker is of the intellectual caliber of Winnie the Pooh?
Oh, yes. On his day. good morning, Minister.
Morning, Humphrey.
Two things, Minister. First, there is the matter of the departmental commendations for the honours list.
Ah, yes. The honours list again.
Yes, Minister.
I think we'll leave that for a bit, if you don't mind, Humphrey.
We can't leave it, Minister. We're getting dangerously close to the 5 weeks.
The 5 weeks?
All recipients are notified at least 5 weeks before promulgation. Gives them time to refuse, you know.
Refuse? When did a civil servant last refuse an honour?
I think there was someone in the Treasury who refused a knighthood.
Good God, when?
I think it was 1496.
Why?
He'd already got one.
Anyway, Minister, if you've approved the list,
Humphrey,
shall I...
Humphrey, did you know that 20% of all honours go to civil servants?
A fitting tribute to their devotion to duty, Minister.
Well, no. Their duty is what they're paid for. The rest of the population have to do something extra to get an honour, something special. Ordinary people work with mentally handicapped children for 27 years, 6 nights a week to get an MBE. But your knighthoods just come up with the rations.
Minister... Her Majesty's civil servants spend their lives working for a modest wage, and at the end they retire into obscurity. Honours are a small reward for a lifetime of loyal, self-effacing discretion and devoted service to Her Majesty and to the nation.
Modest wage,
alas, yes.
Humphrey, you earn over 30,000 a year. 7,500 more than I do.
Yes, but still a relatively modest wage.
Relative to whom?
Well, Elizabeth Taylor, for instance.
Humphrey, you are not, as far as I'm aware, relative to Elizabeth Taylor. There are important differences.
Yes, indeed. She didn't get a first at Oxford.
And you do not retire into obscurity. You take massive, index-linked pensions and go off to be directors of banks and oil companies.
Ah, but very obscure directors.
And you're never in danger of the sack in industry. If you screw it up, you get the boot. In the civil service, if you screw it up, I get the boot.
Oh, very droll, Minister. Now, if you've approved the list...
No, Humphrey. I am not approving any honour for anyone in this department who hasn't earned it.
What do you mean, earned it?
I mean, earned it. I mean, having done something to deserve it.
But that's unheard of.
Yeah, maybe. But my new policy is to stop all honours for all civil servants in this department who fail to cut their department's budgets by 5% a year. May I take it your silence indicates agreement?
You may not, Minister. Where did you get that preposterous idea?
Well, it was something that came to me.
It's ridiculous. It's out of the question. Unthinkable.
Why?
Well, the whole idea is... It strikes at the whole root of... This is the beginning of the end, the thin end of the wedge. A Benite solution. Where will it end? The abolition of the monarchy?
Oh, that'd be absurd, Humphrey.
There is no reason to change a system which has worked well in the past.
But it hasn't.
Well, we have to give the present system a fair trial.
Yeah, I thought you'd say that. You may be interested to learn that the most noble order of the Garter was founded in 1348 by King Edward III. Must be getting towards the end of its trial period.
Minister, to block honours pending economies might create a dangerous precedent.
What you mean by dangerous precedent is that if we do the right thing now, we might have to do the right thing again next time. On that reasoning, nothing should ever be done at all.
On the contrary, Minister, many, many things must be done.
But nothing must ever be done for the first time.
Exact. No, no. What I mean is, I am fully seized of your aims, Minister, and of course I shall do my best to put them into practice.
If you would.
And to that end, I recommend that we set up an interdepartmental committee with fairly broad terms of reference. Then, at the end of the day, we would be in a position to think through all the implications and take a decision based on long-term considerations, rather than rush prematurely into precipitate and possibly ill-conceived action that might well have unforeseen repercussions.
You mean no?
What I mean is...
No, Humphrey, you know me. Action now. Action. Nobody in their right mind can want honours. They encourage sycophancy, snobbery, jealousy. And it's not fair that civil servants get them all.
But, Minister...
Humphrey, that's what I have decided. Now, what was your other point?
My other point?
You said you had 2 points.
Did I? Oh, yes. I'm sorry, the shock. Yes. I received representations yesterday from Bailey College, Oxford. It's the new ruling on grants for overseas students. Bailey stands to lose nearly £250,000 a year.
Well, I must take British students.
Well, of course, nothing would please them more, but Bailey has easily the highest proportion of foreign students. There would be serious repercussions at the schools of tropical medicine, international law, and the Arabic department might have to close down completely.
I'm sorry. We can't go on educating foreigners cheaply at the taxpayers' expense.
Well, it's not just for foreigners, Minister. If our diplomatic service has nowhere to immerse its recruits in Arab culture, for instance, the results could be catastrophic, and we might even end up with a pro-Israeli foreign office. What would happen to our oil policy then?
Well, they can send their recruits somewhere else.
Well, where else can they learn Arabic?
Arabia?
Actually, Minister, Bailey College has an outstanding record. It's filled the jails of the British Empire for many years.
Jails?
Yes, indeed. And as you know, the letters JB are the highest honour in the Commonwealth.
JB?
Jailed by the British. Gandhi, Nkrumah, Makarios, Ben-Gurion, Kenyatta, Nehru, Mugabe. The list of world leaders is endless and contains several of our students.
Our students? Which college did you go to, Humphrey?
That's quite beside the point,
but I like being beside the point, Humphrey. Humour me. Which college did you go to? Was it Bailey, by any strange coincidence?
It so happens I am a Bailey man, but that has nothing to do with it.
Oh, no, nothing at all. Of course not. No, what a thought. Naughty.
Hello? Oh, thank you. It's the division, Minister.
Oh, God. Well, that rather settles it. Doesn't it, Humphrey? No more time. Oh, what do I vote, Bernard? I or no?
No, it's an opposition amendment. It's the second reading
of the... It doesn't matter what it is. I just don't want to go through the wrong door.
Arnold?
Ah, Humphrey. Do sit down.
Thank you, Arnold.
I hope you don't mind my dragging you over to the Cabinet Office.
No, please.
But I was a little bit worried about this idea of your ministers, linking honours to economies and all that.
Oh, that! You've heard about it. Lot of nonsense.
Ah, good. So you mean it's not true?
Not exactly. That is, he did just mention it, but...
But what?
But, I can't find any effective argument against it.
Humphrey, this is the thin end of the wedge.
That's what I said.
A Benite solution.
I said that.
Where will it end?
That's what I said. But it's intolerable yet irresistible.
Yes, well, I'm not in any sense reprimanding you. I don't know the facts very well. But as head of the service, I would like your assurance that he won't be putting it into practice.
Well, I certainly hope he won't be.
I'm not sure hopes are quite good enough. Suppose he did apply it to your department. The contagion would spread throughout the government, every department. So, presumably, we can count on you.
Well, of course, I'll try, but it's rather tricky.
I'm sure you know what you're doing, but this could cause people to reflect on your soundness. Of course, I have no doubts about you personally, but anyway, I thought it might be useful to have a little chat.
Oh, absolutely, Arnold. Thank you.
Oh, by the way, I had the master of our old college on the phone just now.
Oh, yeah?
He said you dined at Bailey last week.
That's right.
I told him I was sure you'd get your minister to treat them as a special case. I hope I was right.
Oh, yes. But at any rate, I've got the minister coming to a benefactor's dinner.
Good. Sound man. Well, I must be off to number 10. Thanks for dropping in, Humphrey.
Oh, no. Thank you, Arnold.
I gather Sir Humphrey saw the Cabinet Secretary yesterday and got the most frightful wigging.
Really?
Yes, really tore off a strip. Because of your brilliant scheme linking economies to honours.
Your scheme, you mean?
I think we've been through that before, Minister.
Oh, yes. Sorry. My scheme. How does the Cabinet Secretary give a wigging to someone as high up as Humphrey?
Well, normally I gather it's pretty civilised, but this time apparently it was no holds barred. Sir Arnold told Sir Humphrey that he wasn't actually reprimanding him.
I see. It was that bad, was it?
Yes. He actually suggested that some people might not think that Sir Humphrey was sound.
Good heavens. A real punch-up.
Yes, indeed.
But what has Sir Arnold to fear, anyway? He must have his full quota of honours.
Naturally, he has his G.
His G? What's that?
You get your G after your K.
You speak in riddles, Bernard.
Well, take the Foreign Office. First you get the CMG, then the KCMG, then the GCMG. Commander of the Order of St. Michael and St. George, Knight Commander of St. Michael and St. George, Knight Grand Cross of St. Michael and St. George. Of course, in the service, the CMG stands for Call Me God, and the KCMG for Kindly Call Me God.
What does the GCMG stand for, then?
God Calls Me God.
What's Sir Arnold worried about? He's got all the honours he could possibly hope for, hasn't he?
Certainly not. Nowhere near. There's a peerage, the O.N., the C.H., the Order of the Garter, the Knight of the Thistle.
To the Thistle? Who do they award the Thistle to? Scotsmen? Donkeys?
There is a distinction, Minister.
You can't have met the Scottish Nationalists. How do they award it?
A committee sits on it.
Does Humphrey really think that I'll change government policy on university finance as a result of one dinner at High Table?
I believe Bailey College give a very good dinner, Minister.
How much further to Oxford?
Only a few minutes. The M40 is a very good road.
Yeah. So is the M4. Why did we get two really good roads to Oxford before we got any to Southampton or Dover? Or Felixstowe, or any of the ports?
Well, nearly all of our permanent secretaries were at Oxford, Minister. And most Oxford colleges give a very good dinner.
And the Cabinet let them get away with it?
Oh, no, they put their foot down. They said no motorway to take civil servants to dinners in Oxford unless there was a motorway to take Cabinet ministers hunting in the Shires. And that's why when the M1 was built in the 50s, it stopped in the middle of Leicestershire.
Come off it.
But it's true.
But the M11's only just been completed. Don't Cambridge colleges give a good dinner too?
Of course. But it's years and years since the Department of Transport had a permanent secretary from Cambridge.
Well, I must say, for a college on the edge of bankruptcy, this isn't a bad little dinner.
Mm-hmm. Ah, but the Fitzwalter dinner is paid for by a specific endowment. He was a great 16th century benefactor.
Mm. Most nights you'll find us eating mother's pride and processed cheese.
Well, what you need is a 20th century benefactor.
Interesting you should say that, Minister.
Why?
Well, of course, benefactors with money are few and far between. Isaac Wolfson is only the second man in history to have a college named after him at both Oxford and Cambridge.
Now, who's the first?
Jesus.
Jesus. Oh.
Some of our most revered benefactors are men who saved the college from the depredations of government. Their names are kept alive and honoured for centuries. It's a kind of immortality, really.
Mm. What sort of things did these benefactors do?
Well, take Sir William de Vere. You see his coat of arms on the sconce over there? And his name is on a plaque in the chapel. He diverted a baronial army away from Bailey in the 15th century, had the soldiers quartered at St. George's College instead.
I didn't know there was a St. George's College.
There isn't. Not since that. Then there was George Monckton, the chap that Monckton Quad's named after. He stopped Cromwell from melting down the college silver to pay for the new model army.
Told them that the silver was much better quality at Trinity Cambridge.
Yes, but now it looks as if there'll be no college left to remember them.
Unless we can solve this problem of the overseas student grants.
Yes. Well, I mean, one would certainly like to help oneself. I mean, help one's friends. That is, help... College. Not for the honour.
Of course. No, of course not.
Of course not. Ignoble thought.
The Minister has always believed the job of a politician is to help others.
Absolutely. Name of the game. That's why we go into politics. To help others. I'm an idealist, you see. I have nothing to do with the honour.
Anyway, all the honour seems to come after you're dead. It's not a lot of satisfaction in having your name on a silver sconce when you're 6 feet under.
Incidentally, Master, if I might change the subject entirely, when do you award your honorary doctorates?
Well, the ceremony's not for a few months, but we have to make our final selection in just a couple of weeks.
Honorary doctorates?
Isn't it all decided?
There's still one doctorate of law left to decide.
Oh.
We are wondering whether it should go to a judge or to someone in government.
Judge? You don't want to make a judge a doctor of laws? Politicians are the ones who make the laws and pass the laws. If it wasn't for politicians, judges wouldn't be able to do any judging. I mean, they wouldn't have any laws to judge. Know what I mean? They'd all be out of work. There'd be queues of unemployed judges in silly wigs. And furthermore, it's easy for judges. They don't have to suck up to television producers, don't have to lie to journalists, don't have to pretend they like their cabinet colleagues. Do you know something? Well, I'll tell you. If judges had to put up with some of my cabinet colleagues, we'd have the death penalty back tomorrow. Jolly good thing.
Yeah, exactly, Minister.
And I'll tell you another thing. I can't send you to prison. Can't send him to prison. Now, if I were a judge, I could whiz old Humphrey off to the scrubs, no trouble. Feet wouldn't touch. Clang, bang, see you in 3 years' time, one-third remission for good conduct. But I can't do that. I have to listen to him. Oh, God. On and on and on. You know, his sentences are longer than Judge Jeffrey's. No. Politicians are much more deserving. You don't want to give your doctorate honorates to judges. No, definitely.
Beautifully argued, Minister. I realise now that it shouldn't be a judge.
You put the case most expertly.
Almost like a Doctor of Laws, Minister. I can almost see you there, in the Sheldonian, as you stand there in those magnificent crimson robes, receiving the doctorate in front of a packed assembly of eminent scholars. Wonderful.
Funny you should say that, Humphrey. I was thinking the same thing.
Well, Minister, most enjoyable dinner last night.
Most enjoyable.
Actually, can we have a private word before the meeting begins?
Mm.
The Master of Bailey's asked me to sound you out to see if you'd be interested in accepting an honorary doctorate of laws from the university.
Mm-hmm. Good heavens.
Yes, of course, it's not an offer.
No, of course not, no.
The Master will have to square the council, and, of course, in view of your well-known hostility to honours...
Don't be silly, Humphrey. It's quite different.
Well, not entirely, Minister. It is a matter of accepting a doctorate without having done anything to deserve it, as you might put it in your refreshingly blunt fashion.
I'm a cabinet minister.
Isn't that what you're paid for?
Well, yes, but... No, well, yes, but the point is, one can't really refuse it, can one?
Uh-huh.
It's a sort of vote of confidence in the government, not just for oneself.
Oh, quite so, Minister, quite so. But as I say, it's not certain yet.
By the way, Humphrey, changing the subject entirely,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to do what I can to help Bailey College over this overseas student problem.
Oh, good.
But don't we need a pretext? A reason?
Oh, no problem. I understand that the palace has been under pressure from a number of African Commonwealth leaders. We can't embarrass the palace, so we'll have to redesignate Bailey as a Commonwealth Education Centre.
Where will I find the money? You know how set I am on making 5% cuts across the board. If we could achieve that, well, anything's possible.
The Expenditure Survey Committee are waiting, Minister.
Oh, fine. Turn them in.
We might be able to achieve those cuts. I can only speak for this department, of course. So long as this absurd idea of linking honours to cuts were to be shelved.
I see.
Right, thank you, Bernard.
Thank you. Minutes of the previous meeting. Matters arising. One, accommodation.
Well, I'm happy to say that we found a 5% cut by selling an old office block in High Wycombe.
Well, that's most splendid. Two, stationery acquisition.
Yes, we've discovered that a new stock control system will reduce expenditure this year.
By how much?
About 5%, wasn't it?
Yes. 5%.
Something like that.
That's very good.
Very good. Three, Parks and Forestry Administration.
If we delay the planned new computer installation, we can make a saving there.
Can we? How much?
How much was it?
About 5%.
Yes, about 5%, I think, and that cuts data processing, too. By about 5%.
This is all very encouraging, Humphrey.
Yes. Incidentally, Minister, while I think of it, have you finished with the list of departmental recommendations to the Honours Secretary?
Oh, yes. There's no problem with that. Bernard will give it to you.
Ah. Thank you, Bernard.
Okay, Humphrey?
Yes, Doctor. Minister.
In Doing the Honours, you heard Paul Eddington as Jim Hacker, Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey, and Derek Folds as Bernard. Sir Arnold was played by John Nettleton, the Master of Balliol College by Graham Crowden, and the Bursar by William Fox. The committee members were Stuart Organ, David Peart, and Moya Leslie. Guest Minister was written by Anthony Jay, Jonathan Lynn, and produced by Pete Atkins.